It's hard to believe, but this wonderful music came about because of some pretty compelling congressional hearings. Not the January 6th hearings making headlines or Watergate 50 years ago. Leonard Bernstein wrote Candide, this is the overture, in response to the McCarthy hearings. In the spring of 1954, Senator Joseph McCarthy held congressional hearings aimed at rooting out suspected communists and homosexuals in America. Bernstein was gay, Jewish, and politically active on the left, already blacklisted by the FBI. His musical answer to McCarthyism was this comic opera about how a young man's naive belief in the best of all possible worlds clashes with harsh reality. There's also another good reason to talk about Bernstein. Bradley Cooper will play him in a biopic that comes out next year. Can't wait. Nor can our classical music opinionator, Fran Hoffner. Hi, Fran.
Hi.
And we are listening to Bernstein conduct his own Candide. This is the overture. It's in 1989, a year before he died. Now, remind us, he's a favorite of yours. Why?
Well, I grew up watching the Leonard Bernstein concerts for young people. Those were a huge part of my music education. So he's just a very familiar figure to me. I feel like he's an extended family member that I had. But he's such a colorful and engaging personality, and it comes out so much in his music that I really can't help but enjoy everything of his I've ever heard.
You can't help it. Plus, he loves percussion, and you're a percussionist, so there you have it.
Of course, yeah.
Candide, it was a Broadway flop. But what an overture. Let's just start from the top and listen to a good chunk of it. Excitement. You know, I mean, it just, he pulls you right in. What do you think he's trying to convey there, given again that part of it is his response to the McCarthy hearings?
I think he wanted a really bombastic, exciting, and also kind of economical opening to this. It's a really exciting overture, but it's actually pretty short. Overtures, I think, usually are in the 7 to 9 minute range. This one's just over 4 minutes. So he wants to hook you with like a really exciting bit of music and then be like, all right, let's get started. I don't want to indulge in this too much.
Well, I'm also thinking of puffed up politicians puffing about, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
In their puffing way. Bernstein, again, a target of the hearings and blacklisted. What did he say about that?
I think he found it all both ridiculous and frustrating. He was quite left-leaning, but he was never, you know, a full-fledged communist, or, you know, so his relatives who are living now say that he never was. So I'm sure he felt as though he was being picked on for what were otherwise reasonable beliefs at the time.
He said in his affidavit, I am not now or at any time have ever been a member of the Communist Party, but the FBI spied on him for 3 decades. Hard to imagine, because right after Candide comes West Side Story. Okay, Candide, confusing plot based on a play by the 18th century French writer Voltaire. Lillian Hellman, the writer, and someone who did have communist sympathies, at least, helped with the writing of Bernstein's Candide. We heard a little bit about the attraction for him, this idea of a young man, you know, finding out that life isn't all a bowl of cherries, which he probably did find out during those hearings. But what else do you think was the attraction?
You know, I think it probably just comes at the point of life where Bernstein himself is starting to not only reckon with the youth behind him and what's ahead. Candide is very much about the shedding of optimism and learning about how the world works And I feel like for Bernstein in his late 30s when this was composed, that's sort of where he sat. I don't really think he sees himself in the opera, but I think it reflects the kind of attitude that would have come not only out of these hearings, but in the 1950s when I think a lot of American society was supposed to believe things had been made great. And he's maybe a little bit more skeptical of that greatness at the time.
I'm reminded that we go on to see Tony die at the end of West Side Story. A tragic ending there, too. Well, let's listen again to the music. There's that sweeping theme that we heard in the introduction.
Oh, I think it's really seductive and sweet, though it's also got a little undercurrent of darkness. It feels to me like a classic Bernstein romantic interlude. It sounds very proto West Side Story, and I think you can always hear that optimism in his music even when he was doing something relatively dark.
Yeah, I feel pretty. And the theme changes again for the big wind-up ending. Let's listen. So I have to ask, where are we hearing Bernstein, you know, blacklisted, those horrific McCarthy hearings, real stain on American history? Where are we hearing that?
I think we're hearing that in the repetitive and consistent percussion and rhythm, the driving force ahead of this. Bernstein is a really stubborn guy. He's not going to be made a fool of by anyone. And I think you can feel that undercurrent of pushing ahead in spite of everything in the sort of marching beat of this music.
Yeah. It's almost like we're dancing as fast as we can at one point.
Mm-hmm.
There's a big hit from Bernstein's opera, an aria called Glitter and Be Gay, which meant a different thing back then. But here is the original star, Broadway legend, Barbara Cook, singing that song.
Enough, enough of being basely tearful. I'll show my noble stuff by being bright and cheerful.
I do think you hear that almost like hysteria.
Yeah. Yeah, there is a lot of mania to it. I think he's both laughing with and at this character a little bit.
Well, I did say I don't think he meant Glitter and Be Gay the way it's meant today, but, you know, maybe he did. Do we know he was married to a woman, but was a gay man?
Yeah, his wife, Felicia, was aware of his affairs that he had with men. And I do believe he and Felicia had a very loving relationship up until her death. I don't know that this aria, is meant to be autobiographical in any sense, but I think even the optimistic attitude presented in the lyrics probably represent how Bernstein felt about carrying on his two lives. It's just something you got to do and you have to do it enthusiastically.
Well, dancing as fast as you can. So perhaps in Candide, from Bernstein, a reaction to the mania and insanity surrounding the McCarthy hearings. But I want to look ahead real quick with you while we have you, Fran Hoffner. A Bernstein movie coming out with Bradley Cooper. Man, they've got to get that right.
I know. I really can't wait, but I have a lot of faith that Cooper's going to do it justice.
And what music? I mean, what do you want to hear of all the music?
Oh, gosh, that's such a big question. You know, he just did an interview where he talked about including a lot of Mahler. And so I'm really excited to see what Cooper does with Bernstein and his relationship to Mahler, because I don't think of Mahler necessarily as being a composer who gets, you know, seats filled, maybe it's in film at least, but Bernstein is really responsible for modernizing Mahler and bringing him to a larger American audience. So I get the sense that we're going to get a loud, explosive Mahler section or sections in this film.
Can't wait. And in advance of the movie, let's listen to a little Gustav Mahler, Symphony No. 2, Resurrection, conducted by Leonard Bernstein and the Cleveland Orchestra. Fran Hoffner, here now as classical music opinionator. Fran, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin.